You're listening to episode 215 of Lifestyle Locker Radio with Jana Breslin and Evan DeMarco.
Hi, I'm Dr. Josh Hant, and I want to welcome you to Lifestyle Locker Radio. It is here where we talk all things lifestyle, from fitness to nutrition, peak performance to longevity, awesome relationships to inspirational stories. We take you on an amazing journey to all things life and lifestyle. Enjoy the ride. And for today's guest, if you want to learn more than they're going to tell you on this show, I urge you to scroll down, check out the show notes to get a detailed bio and everything you need to know about our guest today. We also encourage that you comment, review, and share this show if you are enjoying it from wherever and whenever you're listening. Lastly, we encourage you to check out all the links that we provide in the show notes. They are there for you, for your health, for your lifestyle. We ultimately want you to unleash your human potential. So dive into this episode. We'll see you on the inside. Okay, we're recording. 3, 2, 1. Hey everyone, welcome back to Lifestyle Locker Radio. We have an amazing pair of guests today. We have both Evan and Jana. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
I'm pumped to have both of you here. Evan has been on our journey here at Lifestyle Locker Radio, talk about different things going through the pandemic, as well as is talking about supplements and nutrition and lifestyle. And now we're going full circle here. They've joined together, both Jana and Evan, and they've created something called A Complete Human. So this is going to be an awesome conversation about overall life, I believe.
Sounds like a baby.
Yeah, it sounds like we just gave birth.
Yeah. There we go.
So we call it Jevin.
Oh, perfect. All right, Jevin is the we're changing. I'm going to have them change the website for you on that one.
Right.
So let's get a little bit of a background just for both of you. I know both of you are in the health world. Just give the audience a little preview.
Sure. I guess.
Ladies first.
Thanks. I guess I'll start. Well, my name is Jana Breslin, and I started off in the fitness industry, kind of throughout my own health journey. I had a few health issues back in 2015 that kind of set me back health wise, and so I kind of had to kind of just redevelop and recreate myself and figure out what true health was. So I started social media to kind of just share my journey of health, and my following started growing. It kind of opened up a lot of opportunities for me. I've been lucky enough to be on a few magazine covers, fitness magazine covers, which has been super fun and kind of wild to think about. But and so now here we are. I mean, now we've developed this Jevin.
We've developed a Jevin.
A baby.
Yes, exactly.
And luckily it doesn't cry or poop.
Right. Yes, that's fair. All right, Evan, give your story now. What's your short story?
The short story is that, you know, yeah, it's health and wellness has always really been a part of my life. Going back to when I was young, my grandmother was the original health and wellness crusader. You're looking at alternative practices long before they were cool, long before there was an internet and people could get information at the click of a mouse button. You know, she was subscribing to newsletters back when supposed quack doctors were talking about things like CoQ10 and cryotherapy, you know, in the 80s and early 90s. And so the health and wellness has really always permeated my life. And being an athlete, I always kind of recognized the intuitive, symbiosis between what we eat, what we put in our body, and our performance. And so, you know, life kind of changes along the way. I decided that, I had to go out and get dirty and become a banker and put on a 3-piece suit and, you know, watch part of my soul die every single day when I did that. And, you know, after the mortgage meltdown, way back when, I was fortunate to buy a sports nutrition company and really start to kind of redefine what was my purpose in life and start really looking at, you know, what is health? What is wellness? How do we help people on that journey? How do we give people the tools necessary to really impact real change? And so, you know, developing over 1,500 products in the dietary supplement space for, you know, over $500 million in sales, I always got to watch other people be the ambassadors of health and wellness. And so when I met Jana a couple of years ago, this really, you know, synergistic click kind of happened, and we just recognized we're on the same path with the same mission. And so a year ago to the day, we were hiking Machu Picchu in Peru. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of just talking about this, this kind of journey and like, yeah, we got back. We're like, all right, let's do it. So, that's kind of the evolution of Jevin.
Yeah, here we are today. So this
here we are today.
I love these stories. And you know, hearing like from a health crisis to a health influencer, that's super powerful. And Evan, we know your story with, you know, developing these supplements and helping, you know, countless people across the planet. It's, I think it is, you know, a match made in Jevin here. Like, right. It's a really,
okay. Someone write that down. I'm having t-shirts printed. Right.
Exactly. So let's get into the complete human. This is really neat. You know, on my personal journey as a chiropractor, as becoming like an ultra runner at this point, I've have to learn so much, and having hundreds of interviews, you know, under my belt with talking to people like Evan and now you, Jana, you know, I learned so much from this, and our audience learns tons. Let's go into really what is the makeup? Like, what was the, you know, what was the defining moment where you said, you know, we want this podcast, we want this company to be about this, about being a complete human?
Well, I don't know. I feel like everything that we see out there is so focused on like outside appearance, right? And aesthetics, and how do you work out, and how do you look good, and all these things. And that's kind of the world that I've been just totally consumed with for so long. And so I think that's one thing that really brought us together was our passion and focus on, you know, health from within too. So I know you can touch on that a little bit as well, but
yeah. And health from within, but then how does that translate to the health of, you know, us as a community, as a planet, and how do we take that momentum and allow us to make real change in the world? And I think one of the things that, you know, really drive us is it's not just individual health. We focus on kind of these four principles, which is mental fortitude, right? And we always joke about, as people who go to the gym, as people who work out, we kind of love hate January 2nd. We love it because it's inspirational to see people in their New Year's resolutions, but we hate it because you can't get on a machine and nobody knows what they're doing. And by and large, what we see is the gym returns to normal by March 1st. All of those people with these lofty New Year's resolutions are back to eating potato chips and binge watching Netflix. So what are the mental blocks that allow or that prohibit people from really embracing true physical health? So when we deal with those, that allows us to transition into physical health. And that's a whole bag of kittens, right? Like, what diet do you do? We interviewed the carnivore doctor the other day. And then the next week we're talking to talking to a climatologist who's like, okay, basically eat more vegetables. I'm like, really? Like, what do you do?
So much information out there.
Physical health, we really want to define as something that's unique to an individual, right? And the problem is that we're not using diagnostic testing to really determine where people need to go. And that's pretty much marketing, right? That's this world where everybody's like, buy my book, do my diet, do my workout. But if we're not creating a baseline of where someone needs to, you know, where someone's at, to determine where they need to go, then the diet, the exercise is meaningless. So we really talk about physical health in the realm of let's test, optimize, retest, reoptimize. And then once we get into that, one of the things that we always feel is really lacking is the spiritual abundance, right? Like, I can look good. I can have the best omega-6 to omega-3 ratio in the world. I can have the greatest mental fortitude. I'm up every day working out. But if I'm spiritually empty, what am I doing? You know, am I just posting on Instagram for likes? And so when we kind of combine these, you know, mental fortitude, physical health, and spiritual abundance, that allows us to really create this tide of momentum that allows us to impact real change on the planet. And that's what we really wanted to stand for, was this idea that the fundamental problems of health and wellness, once those are solved with individuals, that allows us to solve the fundamental problems that we face as a species, which is very planetary.
Yeah. So I think you're using, as an influential group here, you're using social media for good. I mean, so many people use it the exact opposite way. And I think that this combination of taking a step back, saying, holy cow, we have influence over people. How do we make this so it's beneficial to society as a whole, not just, you know, for yourselves, right? So, you know, we can look good on Instagram, we can, you know, post about it, supplements, but now we actually have this machine that you built behind it with the complete human that can drive people to do things, to take some accountability for themselves, and, you know, look up to both of you as experts, as you both are in your real world.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Josh. Is, you know, it's like, we don't want people to look up to us. We want people to join us. You know, we're by no means perfect. And I think this idea of complete human was the idea that it's more a journey, right? We never get to complete. Every day is work. We never get to that point where we have to stop working out. We never get to that point where we have to stop building our brains. So the complete human really is representative of a journey. And we just want people to join us, right? Like, we want to be shepherds on the way to this place where we can enact real change. And whether that you're passionate about ocean cleanup, whether you're passionate about, you know, health and wellness, it doesn't matter. It's like, get passionate about something, get behind it, and let's do something, you know, where we can leave our kids a legacy versus a just big bag of crap to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know you both have seen, like, in the health and wellness world, I mean, health, forget these 9 months, but overall, people, I hope, are starting to wake up, because, I mean, we've seen a generation just tank based off industrialized garbage food, fast food, all of this stuff. I mean, in my practice as a chiropractor, I'm seeing arthritis and degeneration in 12-year-olds.
That's insane. Wow.
That's insane. I don't see that. I didn't see that when I started in 2006. I did not see that. Like, if I saw someone like in their 60s that had been in a car accident or played football, sure, we expected it, but a 12-year-old. So these are like the signs, and right, obesity, all of these different things that we're seeing. I'm hoping and praying that with you know, the complete human and people like us, that we have these conversations on a regular basis, that we can start to wake up more people to guide them in the right direction, to be like, be a beacon for them to, you know, search for us versus, you know, by chance stumble upon us. I think you're in the right place at the right time, both of you, where we are, because it's, you know, we went to a deeper hole these past 9 months. And I think the climb out is going to be a big awareness for health, wellness, longevity, right?
Go ahead, sorry.
I think a lot of it comes down to education. I mean, just what you just said, that is shocking. That is shocking. And it really, you know, wakes us up to hear stuff like that. So,
well, and it's so much more than that. It's education and inspiration, right? We can lead a horse to water, but we can't make them drink. And
100%.
And where do people actually draw the line of saying enough is enough? I kind of use my daughter as a perfect example, who's in the middle of distance learning, which is a failed experiment if there ever was one. Mm-hmm. Like, now we've got chronic blue light activation for kids in first grade. We're going to start to see sleep disorders that come out of this. But they're doing Zoom-based physical education. If I woke up in the morning and my head was sewn to the carpet, I couldn't be more shocked. And so, In a conversation with one of the administrators of the school, they said that the state still is mandating 100 minutes of play per week. And that's not a day, that's per week. And when they said that, my head almost exploded, right?
Yeah.
Like, wait, when you told me that, I was like, not a day, a week?
A week. Yeah. Like, And so how are we expecting our kids' brains to grow? BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. We're trying to put them in front of a screen and say, here, get an education, not inspiring them to get out and move and be active. You know, we're not dealing with kids' lunches. We're not dealing with kids' foods. And all of these things are going to have cataclysmic ramifications. Yeah. You know, we're at that tipping point anyway. Look at, you know, obesity, look at diabetes, look at all of these things. And a large percentage, if you read the, you know, the CDC stuff, of people who are succumbing to COVID are these people that have comorbidity issues, right? Yeah. They've got existing problems. So what happens when we hit COVID 2024 or 2025? It's like, it's not going to be 200,000 people dead. It's going to be 200 million people dead if we can't pull our heads out of our rectums and figure out that, mm-hmm. like, educate, inspire, but make radical change, people.
Yeah. So, and I want to circle back for a second, because you mentioned something. You talk about headspace and resilience, you know, with our headspace. I also believe that that's got to be the foundational piece of this whole puzzle. And I'm sure, Jana, with you, with going from a health crisis, you know, it started up top. It didn't start like, you know, you looked in the mirror and your body felt something. You actually had to think something, or whatever the scenario was. Can you talk a little bit about the mindset that helped you have your personal transformation?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it came down to figuring out that also my thoughts and my environment was toxic. It wasn't necessarily how I was eating, because I was doing everything right, right? I was working out, I was eating well, I was, like, you know, drinking clean water, all these things. But I think a lot of it kind of comes down to a lot of this invisible this invisible side that people don't really focus on, which is your mental health, your environment, who you're surrounding yourself with. Like, what are you doing with your outside time that's furthering your emotional health too? I mean, there's so much of that. So I think for me, that's really what it came down to, was just understanding the body at in a cellular level, but also focusing on the more spiritual, emotional, mental side of it too. It's crazy how much the mind is so connected to our bodies. And I don't know if a lot of people make that connection, and they're wondering why, like, maybe they're struggling with their health, but they don't realize like how much resentment they're carrying around, or maybe they're in an unhealthy, toxic relationship, and that's just hurting them in the long term, and they don't necessarily know. So I've had to make some radical changes in my life that are uncomfortable to, you know, get to the point that I'm at now, which is health. So, hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah. So here, I want to follow up with one thing. So I know you both did that ayahuasca journey, which I've yet to go on one. Really want to. I've heard some crazy stories. I've interviewed some shaman and it had these conversations. So that's obviously a mental, spiritual awakening, whatever your experience was. But that's, I always call that the extreme. The average person, you know, wherever they are in the US or the world, they're not going to fly down to Peru and have that mind-blowing, wild experience where like life opens up in front of your eyes. What are things that you either did or you currently do that help keep you in that mind state, right? In that like openness, in that like receiving like good things and learning from them and taking those action steps?
Yeah. Well, for me personally, I mean, starting my morning off a very specific way, I think has just been a huge reason for the growth and what I've learned. I do my hardest not to even look at my phone. I go straight into a meditation. I journal, I read. I just make sure that I start my day grounded and centered, basically, so I can kind of tackle whatever life throws at us that day. I think it's just also not stopping the learning or growing process. And, you know, oh, if someone says, oh, I meditated for a month and I feel a little better, but and I think that's what we talk about so much, is that we're constantly evolving and we're constantly working on ourselves. This journey of a complete human, there's no end really. It's a constant journey. And so it's the continuous work and the mental fortitude that we put in to get to that point.
I think to follow up on that, Josh, you know, meditation. So one of the things that we've really gotten into is the PEMF. So starting each day with PEMF and meditation, and, you know, really kind of refocusing on what is our place, right? You know, going into every day with that gratitude, with that intention, and recognizing that, okay, it's okay to fail. That's a big part of it, right? Like, we've really, you know, I think ayahuasca and a lot of the things that we've gone through has helped us redefine failure. In this sense that it's okay. In fact, failure is a great thing. Our brains grow through failure. You know, we learn from failure. We don't always learn from succeeding. And so, you know, it's fun to like try things. I'm like, that didn't work. Let's try something else. But it's this constant state of almost childlike wonder and, you know, being okay with failure, but being okay with the hard work every single day. And that's the one thing I challenge everybody with listening out there is wake up tomorrow and say, hey, I'm going to do the work, right? And it's never going to get, the work's never going to get easier. You're just going to get stronger.
You just get better.
Yeah, that's powerful. I track my meditation. That's like, I love hearing about morning routines. Almost every single successful person I've had a conversation with that says it always comes down to how I start my day. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm up to like 173 days of consistent meditation. I've never done that. I've done it for a month. Right. And then I'm like, all right, I don't have time. I don't have this or whatever it is. I got to go for a run. I go, whatever the excuse was, but now it's like, I will not miss those same steps. So
I mean, I think once meditation, you're at 173, it's like, you got to keep that going.
Yeah, exactly. I'm blown away. For me, 173 days, and I'm wearing the, you know, the Muse meditation EEG mm-hmm. headband. So I got to track, and I know when I'm having my off days and things like that. So it's really neat to see. And I know you, Evan, you were talking about tracking things and testing to make sure you're constantly evolving and getting better.
And that's the bio-optimization piece that we're really focused on. And again, you know, we hear biohacking a lot, and I'm not here to beat up biohacking, but it's the vernacular, right? Like, hacking is never a good thing.
Yes.
But bio-optimization is this idea that I can test something. I can look at my blood work. I can look at my aortic pulse wave velocity. I can look at my blood pressure and say, okay, well, here's where I'm at, and here's what I need to do to get better. And so by, you know, testing and then retesting, but the same goes true. It's like, I tell everybody, keep a daily journal of what you did. At the end of the day, you can look back and like, well, this is what I ate. This is how I started my day. And you can start to create patterns in your life. And the recognition of those patterns, especially early on in life, can have demonstrable impacts on our health and wellness later on, later on down the road. And it's kind of like investing, right? Like, if you ever talk to an investment Yep. banker, you start your 401k when you're 18. Well, you're in a much better position when you hit 60, 65, 70 than if you start your 401k when you're 50. So your health is an investment, and you get started early. And the challenge that we all feel, or the challenge that we all have, is that when we're in our teens and 20s, we think we're invincible. And we have to reframe our mindset to say that, no, I'm not invincible, but I can be if I start making the investments today.
Yeah. And that's to come full circle with this, between mindset, body, all the things we're talking about. You guys have a free ebook on your site that talks about epigenetic change. And I know that word is in our community, they've heard it before, but do you want to talk about that? You have, like, it's called the four pillars of epigenetic change, which you can get on their site, The Complete Human. Talk about that. Give either of you, I don't care who, but dive into what epigenetics is, and then how we're influencing that on a regular basis.
So I think, you know, epigenetics, just from its definition, is above genetics, right? And so you had an issue with your thyroid, or you have a family history of that. I have a family history of some things. And so if we follow the genetic traits of our lives, there's this acknowledgement that we're probably going to succumb to something. Well, I didn't like that. I know you didn't like that. I don't like a doctor telling me that because my grandfather had something, there's a probability that I could have Parkinson's or cognitive decline. My response to that is, screw you, I'm going to change that. Mm-hmm. And so epigenetics really is this idea that we can't change our DNA, but we can change the expression of our DNA. We can change the RNA. So, you know, our DNA is literally just ons and off switches. You know, you've got a switch that says, hey, you could have thyroid problems, you could have breast cancer, you could have diabetes. But what you do in your life determines whether or not that switch will ever turn on and off. And we can impact that. And that's powerful. That's some powerful stuff, because it means that we're not really forced to play the hand that we're dealt. We can change our cards up a little bit. We can say, no, I'm not going to succumb to diabetes or cancer. I'm going to make the cognitive decision every single day to make sure that that switch never gets turned on. And so we start with, you know, these four pillars, these four principles. You know, how do we really define epigenetics? And then how do we move into a lifestyle that allows us to ensure that the expression of that DNA does not take place?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm thinking about it is, you know, we're not subject, or we don't have to follow our genetics, don't equal our destiny, is what it comes down to.
Exactly. And
the way I love this conversation, because I think of it as a blueprint. Like, it really, if your genes are your blueprint, it really depends on who's reading those genes. Like, you know, we're going to take a little cut around. We're going to skip that cancer area. We're going to come here to something called health. And then that journey goes in. Are there things, I know we're going to talk about supplements, we're going to talk about a bunch of things as we go forward. Are there certain things, or are there favorite things that you know will impact our genetics or our epigenetics? Is it the mindset? Is it the food? Is it like, or we'll say like the things we put into our body? Is it the physical portion, or is it a combination of a lot of different things?
I think there's literally no quick fix to any of this. I mean, this is collectively all of it. I think when you combine all these things, that's when real change happens. And we talk about this all the time. There's no just one thing that we can fix that dramatically or benefits our health. This is a combination of everything. And I think it's just finding that balance between all of it, that's when you feel and see true health come through.
Yeah. And I think to follow up on that, it's, you know, we definitely, you have to have the right mindset, right? Like, how many people have that toxic mindset and they think that they're healthy, but then they get cancer, they have a heart attack when they're 50. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how much of that is mindset? How much of that is stress? How much of that is how we deal with stress? Inflammation, chronic inflammation is still the root of all disease. So we can perceptually be healthy on the outside. We could have, you know, a six pack and a 12% body fat. But if we're dealing with chronic inflammation, that's a fast boat to premature death. So I think, you know, all of it really comes down to knowing where you're at, knowing what your numbers look like, and then optimizing from there. And then, you know, really just how do you find that path? How do you really show up every single day and say, that's where I want to be. I want to have a blood pressure like that. I want to have a pulse wave like that. I want to have a telomere length like that. And in mindset, we always say, you know, chart a course, right? Like, know where you're going. It's like diving, right? Scuba diving. Mm-hmm. Plan your dive your plan. You know, it's like everything else, like your health should be the same thing. This is where I want to go. And then you can roadmap your way to that destination.
Yeah, I think it is unique for each person. I mean, as far as diet or workouts or anything, I mean, it's unique. You know, I might like CrossFit, but what might work for Evan is like extreme knitting or something. And then
I've seen it. We did that live on one of our last calls.
Extreme knitting. Oh,
yeah. I'm hoping to go pro. I think, you know, I'm making
is that a bit, mostly like a wrist workout or a shoulder?
You know, we'll talk about wrist workouts later.
Very cool. No, I think that's interesting. And as we talk about testing, I know it's very individualized. Are there some basics, or if they're going to go to like a functional medicine doctor, chiropractor, whoever, would they say, listen, I'd love to find out more about, if they're going in without any pre-existing known conditions, would they say, great, let me test these X amount of things, four things or whatever. What would you pick?
You know, I think just a comprehensive blood work is really, that's going to be your nuts and bolts, right? You know, and you're going to be looking at everything from like your vitamin D levels to your C-reactive protein to your homocysteine. You know, there's a lot that happens in the blood that can kind of give us an indication of what's going on in our body. So that's got to be number one. And the great thing about blood work is you should be doing that consistently. A lot of insurance companies are not just, you know, they're saying you can do blood work more than once a year on a physical. So if you have blood work once a year and you look at that in a vacuum, you might think that you're healthy or you might think that you're sick. But what happened the day before you had that blood drawn, or what happened a week before you had that blood drawn? Were you fighting an infection and now you're kind of coming back from that? So the more data that we have on the blood, the better off we are going to be as far as plotting where we're kind of at habitually. Can we start to see trends on things like CRP? Are we constantly inflamed? Are we chronically low on things like vitamin D? You know, is our white blood cell count? Are we constantly fighting something? So the more data that we have on the blood, the better. I think one of the ones that I'm really excited about is kind of looking at telomeres. And that's, you know, for those of you guys who don't know telomeres, the best way to look at them are the plastic caps at the end of your shoelaces. If you've ever seen the movie Cocktail, they're the Flugelbinders from that movie Cocktail with Tom Cruise from the 80s. But great movie. As we basically, you know, copy our DNA, those telomeres lock the cell into place, and our body copies that cell. And then through cellular autophagy gets rid of the old one. But every time that copy happens, the telomere gets shorter and shorter and shorter until that cell can no longer copy. And then you ultimately have cellular death. So telomeres are really an indication of our cellular health. And that's a great one. Within cellular health, what we're really finding is that mitochondrial function is kind of the driving force in all of that. So mitochondrial dysfunction, which can be insulin resistance, which can be any number of things, is kind of a precursor to some of the disease that we're seeing. So if we can start to look at mitochondrial health, we can start to look at telomere health, if we can look at our blood. And then I think aortic pulse wave velocity is a great one. And there's a little, you know, pulse oximeter that you can get, and you can test that on a consistent basis. And so we can really start to see, you know, how is our heart working? How's our vascular system working? Are we eating, you know, are we having a problem with cholesterol? Are we starting to see some atherosclerosis? And those are things that we need to get out in front of way ahead of time. And most of the time, we don't realize that that's a problem until it's way too late. So if we can start to see some of those trends with a daily, aortic pulse wave velocity test, I think we can really start to manage some of those things that can become chronic conditions down the road.
Yeah. So I think you're letting people know, don't wait for the crisis to start taking care of yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Simple, right? I mean, it's a simple concept, but it's, you know, we're like unteaching to reteach as we do this through life. It's in my practice all the time. You know, when I x-ray, like I said, a 12-year-old and see arthritis, and that we already know the mom or the dad is already, their spine's broken down. But then we say, all right, what are the habits that got your son or daughter here? Mm-hmm. We need to change those. We need to make some corrections first, but we need to change those habits. Otherwise, you're going to go down this pretty, I can pretty much guess where you're going to go just based on your habits.
It's going to be a lot faster based off of what we're seeing now. It's like,
exactly. So what you mentioned, like inflammation, you mentioned some of these other pieces, and I know you guys have a supplement line that's just started. It's new. I mean, you're not new in the game, Evan. I know that in the supplement game, but let's talk about what you focused on and why you picked what you picked for your initial supplement line.
I mean, I think it all, for us, it came down to how do we optimize our bodies? Like, what do we truly need for optimal health? And that's where we kind of came together and discussed, you know, what do we personally like to take and what do we feel like actually helps our health? Since we do a lot of these diagnostic testing, we can kind of see how things are working for us or not working for us. And I think that's when we came together and just brought it back to the basics. Like, what do people need for true health? And you know, how do we package that in something that's good for them and good for the planet too? So
yeah, and the ethos of our company was really, we wanted to take value chain optimization, which means that we own the entire value chain process, right? If you look at so many of the dietary supplements out there, ones that I've made, and there are a lot of those, if you look at some of the other companies out there, we don't know what the origin of that is, right? So it's a private label product made, you know, who knows where, and you know, how long has it been sitting on a shelf? And so value chain optimization really becomes the great equalizer in the dietary supplement space. We're the manufacturer, we're the brand. And you know, my pedigree has allowed me to, you know, allowed us the opportunity where we own the manufacturing plant. So we know exactly what we're manufacturing. We test all of the inbound materials. We test all of the outbound materials. We know the date that it was manufactured. We know where on our fish oil product, we know where that fish was caught. We might even know the name of the fish. So it's the value chain optimization was the first part. The second part is, how do we bring dietary supplements back to the basics, right? Now, there was a time in the 60s when you were a potato farmer in Kansas where you might need a vitamin C simply because you didn't have access to fresh fruit and vegetables and there was a potential for, you know, some oxidative stress. We've screwed our planet up to the point where dietary supplements are no longer supplements, they're essential. So how do we create supplements that really work with the average, you know, the average American? When we start to look at, you know, homocysteine, C-reactive protein, when we start to look at inflammatory response, how are we optimizing that? So one of our launch vehicles was something called PRMs, pre-resolving mediators. And the great thing about these products is that they come from fish oil, but they're the downstream metabolites of fish oil. So basically for centuries, we've known that fish oil was good for you, but now we know why. And as the DPA, the EPA, the DHA start to break down into these specific fractions, these things are the things that really work at resolving inflammation. So in the instance of whether that's COVID or, you know, the fires here in California, how are we attacking inflammation and allowing it to resolve so that it doesn't become chronic? And that singular biological function is the thing that can help improve our health span, not our lifespan, but our health span. And then from there, we kind of get in, what are the things that people need? Atherosclerosis. So we started looking at like, what products can we develop for those? What are the daily essentials that we can bring to people to ensure that they're optimizing their health? And then we took it one step further because it's all about social responsibility. So one of the things that we're launching in a couple of weeks is our coffee line. Now, I'm a coffee addict. I think you are. Yeah. And the fact that Americans drink 330 million cups of coffee a day is an indication that it's pretty much the biggest addiction that we have as a country, if not a planet. Coffee's headed towards being an endangered species. Climate change is really impacting the yields on coffee. So we paired with a co-op of women-owned farms throughout the world called Cafe Feminino. And these are women-owned and operated farms that are really focused on innovation in the coffee space to ensure that these crops can survive climate change. So when you buy our coffee, our Cafe Feminino, we're sending a lot of that money back to this co-op to really focus on innovative ways to ensure that 10 years, 20 years, 50 years from now, we can still be drinking coffee.
We can still get our addiction.
Yeah, I mean, it's social responsibility, but it's also very selfish on my part because
selfish responsibility.
You don't want to be around me without my coffee.
Yeah. All right. So cool. So we have that, some of the basis coffee. I think this is great. I mean, you're hitting the things that I think people are able to use on a daily basis, not only for, I mean, we know chronic inflammation runs rampant, especially in this country. I mean, that's like a given. unfortunately, but it is. So, I mean, we have the omegas, the PRM, we said, which is a downstream, you said, of the fish oil.
Well, I guess while we have a hiccup in the show, might as well tell you about our sponsor today. It's a 3065 lifestyle shift program. It's like nothing you've seen before online. It is the healthiest place to be on social media. It's $5 a month. You get to participate with other people, learn. There are modules to learn from that are dropping almost every single week. There's a group of people that are looking out for their best health and lifestyle interests, and yours too. So to join the program, check the show notes out, and we'll see you in the 3065 Lifestyle Shift Based Program. And now back to the show.
All right, we're back.
Okay, we're back.
So we're talking about the PRM, like being the downstream metabolites, you said. So some of the things that optimizes like the health. Is that what that is?
Exactly. And there's some really great information available about the PRMs and how they work. But basically these 17 and 18 fractions, the fractions of the DHA, the DPA, the EPA, what they do is they really work at the inflammation resolution pathway, right? So you have, let's say you have a cut, an acute inflammation, you know, you cut yourself with a knife. Well, you've got inflammation that happens there, and that inflammation is a signaling pathway for your body to say like, okay, let's go fix this problem. So in that process, as we start to resolve inflammation, the pre-resolving mediators are the things that help clear out cellular debris. They're the things that work directly with the monocytes, the leukocytes, to really, really resolve the inflammation quickly before it becomes chronic. Now, what happens in the modern Western diet is when we're chronically inflamed, our response to inflammation is very limited. So if we have that cut, it takes longer to heal simply because our immune system is fighting off inflammation in all other areas of our body. So as we start to get ahead of inflammation, as we start to look at these diagnostic tests or CRP or, homocysteine, all that, and we start to optimize based off of that, we can start to see these PRMs have an impact in resolving inflammation, especially the acute kind, before it becomes chronic.
All right, good. You know, that's a new term for me, PRM. So I'm sure there are a lot of people that are going to be, diving a little deeper than our conversation, because I think it's an important piece of the puzzle. And I also see here that you have, is it Res Beet?
Ooh.
In there. Yeah. I know beet, I get that part.
Yeah, Res Beet. It's one of my favorite products. I'm excited because we're combining the beets and also resveratrol. And we talk a lot about longevity and, health span and lifespan. And we want that lifespan, but we also want that health span. And you're really great with the science behind this one.
obviously we know what beets can do from the vasodilation standpoint, right? As we're really looking at cardiovascular health and atherosclerosis, the nitric oxide pathways that's so important in our cardiovascular system. But what about the longevity genes? What about, AMPK, insert 1, insert 6? And so, when we really kind of look at David Sinclair's research and a lot of the research on resveratrol, we felt like, hey, let's, I want to drink something, right? Like I want to be hydrated. I want something that tastes good. So we combine those in this great tasting drink where we're really looking at multi-mode of action. Let's focus on nitric oxide, but also let's activate some of those longevity genes. Let's start turning on the appropriate switches so that we can positively impact epigenetics.
I like that. It's a drink. I didn't realize that's
and
what
it was. Tastes freaking fantastic.
Well, I mean, I'm weird, but I think beets by themselves taste absolutely amazing. So
okay, we're on the same boat then. I love beets too. Other people, it's either you love them or you hate them. I don't know anyone who's like in the middle.
Yeah, it's a weird flavor.
It doesn't
get over it. It's healthy for you.
Exactly.
Sorry, I don't get. No. I'm getting a fist fight through the computer here. No, just kidding.
You'll win.
No, I will not win. Your shirt on later, I can run faster though. Or longer, maybe.
Right.
A lot longer. Here's the thing. Whether you like the taste of beets or not, you don't have to worry about it, because now with Complete Human Res Beet, you get all of the benefits plus more that you wouldn't get just from eating your beets.
That's very true.
All right. Awesome. Love it. And I know is there a CBD or something coming up soon?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're really excited about that one.
So CBD is an interesting thing, right? And you and I have talked about it on your show. I've been on, 150 podcasts talking about CBD. So I've really kind of dug into the nuts and bolts of cannabidiol. And outside of all of the legal stuff on this one, I wanted to understand how this stuff really optimizes the body. We talk about the endocannabinoid system and how CBD can do that. You know, you've got your CB1 receptors and your CB2 receptors. But one thing people kept asking me is like, well, how do I test that? I'm like, I don't know. I can't go to my doctor and say, I need an endocannabinoid system test. So is this stuff really having a positive impact? And I think the science shows that yes, it is. We haven't caught up on a diagnostic testing side yet with the science. So what we have to do is really start to apply, you know, kind of the formulation component to it and understanding what it is that we're trying to tackle. In Israel right now, they're using CBD and terpenes to treat COVID, and it's actually working really well. So one of the things that we really wanted to focus on was how do we create a structured lipid, because CBD is a lipid, and drive more of that into the cell to find out how is this having an impact. So we kind of went into the lab, or I went into the lab, put on a hairnet and a lab coat, and kind of came up with some, you know, some really interesting formulations. But it's not just the CBD, it's the other phytocannabinoids. So really we wanted to pump up the CBC and the CBG, which is the stem cell of all of these phytocannabinoids, and have, you know, find out what's going on there. So we actually paired with a co-op of organic farmers in North and South Carolina that worked directly with a college down there. So we were able to create some of these unique formulations and then start to test them to find out, what are they doing? Are we actually having any impact with that? And what we found out is, yeah, we are. And so with these structured lipids, what we're able to do is actually drive significantly higher volumes of these phytocannabinoids into the cell much quicker, so that we can start to see really, you know, really powerful impacts on things like stress, which who isn't stressed right now? Anxiety, who doesn't have anxiety right now? Sleep problems, right? Like, that's a monster issue. So all of these things that start to be a floodgate issue for chronic health problems down the road, we're seeing the benefit with CBD. Now, the jury's still out on what the long-term thing is. Is this something you take every day? Do you take it intermittently? We haven't figured that one out yet. And so I still very much caution people. It's like, don't jump on the CBD bandwagon and go buy it at your local grocery store because, you know, your mailman told you that it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Make sure that, you know, you're still looking at things like, you know, your CRP and your homocysteine or your inflammatory markers. And then, you know, find out if you need to be taking this daily or maybe weekly or whatnot.
Yeah. And I guess since CBD now is sold like at a, you know, like dollar stores, for all I know, I mean, quality is got to be like beyond incredibly important. I've interviewed quite a few people on CBD since I have a lot of interest in it. And I have an interest because the you know, the ECS system and the central nervous system and the connection. And I've seen some pretty awesome stuff personally. I've tried some crazy doses. I've tried low doses, regular doses. I tried your product as well, Evan. And I have some, they're, it's pretty awesome. Like, I guess we don't know long-term, but I mean, I guess if you're taking a full plant product, I guess I shouldn't know how bad it'll be, because arsenic will kill you too.
Yeah, and that's right. You know, and I think ultimately it comes down to the do no harm. You know, at the end of the day, has anybody ever died from taking CBD? No. You know, I think it's probably one of the safer, you know, dietary supplement products on the market. But to your point, sourcing is everything. Great story is after Chernobyl, the Japanese government came in and was trying to help them clean up. And the only thing that the Russians did after Chernobyl, which is the best thing that they could have done, is they planted miles and miles of hemp all around Chernobyl, because it's a remediation plant. It sucks up everything in the soil, everything in the water, everything in the air. So that makes your feedstock hyper important when you're, you know, when you're choosing your CBD product. And you can bet your bottom dollar that the stuff you're getting at dollar store, at probably your local grocery store.
From Chernobyl?
I know.
Chernobyl. And you're going to wonder why you wake up in the middle of the night, you know, 5 months from now, glowing.
Yeah. Like, oh.
It's like, and so it's, you know, sourcing is absolutely important. I think that's one of the things that right now the current farm bill is addressing, is how do we make this organic? How do we really focus on feedstock? Because we know that bad CBD can be bad. Good CBD can be good. So it's just like anything else. It's where you're getting your stuff from.
Yeah, that's so true. So let's come full circle. I want to talk just briefly about the podcast, because the Complete Human has the Complete Human podcast. I did 30 episodes as of now. Is that what I saw?
Yeah, over 30 now, I think.
Over 31 30
now? Tomorrow. Yeah. 31
Oh, awesome. So everybody, you definitely got to check that out. They have awesome guests. I've listened to a few of them. in the recent past, or some runs, and they're great. I mean, if you're nerdy, there's some good nerdy stuff in there. I like the nerdy stuff. Evan is good at the nerdy stuff. I do love
well, that's the nicest thing anyone could have ever said to me.
Come on, you know it, you know it. But I think it's great. And I'm very grateful to have you both on the show because you fit in with our mission state of helping people unleash their human potential. And you are doing just that. And for everyone, if you're not following either of them on social media, definitely look them both up on Instagram. They put a lot of really great content up there. Don't only look at the pictures, read what's below. They throw a lot of really good stuff on there. And we had this conversation in the beginning. So,
well, look at the pictures of her, not of me. It's, you know.
Okay. That's probably a wiser idea. But nonetheless, I think you both are awesome. I'm really grateful to have you here. Any final remarks? Anything else you'd like to share?
You know, guys, it's yes. You know, I was like a CTA, and the CTA is not buy our supplements. The CTA is not download our book. The CTA is not go to our website, you know, or call to action for those who don't know what CTA is. You know, the CTA is figure out what you want out of your life. You know, do you want to be sick and tired? Or are you sick of being sick and tired? You know, mm-hmm. Do you want more out of your existence? Do you want to leave the planet a better place for your kids? You know, do you want to have a real impact? And if the answer is yes to that, if the answer is I want more out of this existence, then do something about it. And that doesn't have to come from following the complete human journey or the lifestyle locker. It comes from, you know, waking up in the morning and saying, I want more, and then going about doing the hard work to get it. And so if we can do anything in this little, you know, community of ours, it's to inspire people to something, you know, beyond where they're at right now. We can provide the tools, we can lead you to water, but you know, you have to figure out whether or not you want to drink. And I'm encouraging everybody listening to this is go drink, you know, go be a part of this crazy group of people that thinks they can change the world and be healthy and have a great time doing it.
Yeah, because the crazy ones are usually right.
Yeah. Exactly. That's true. Yeah, that really is our goal, is just to how do we help people be the best versions of themselves so in turn they can make the world better. And that is ultimately our goal for
I think that's what we're both all about.
Yeah.
Inspiring change and action as well, because that's where the change will come in.
The key part, like, action.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we like to say we're a tide and we're rising.
Good. Agreed. Let's keep going that way. Let's keep rising this tide, as all ships will go with the tide. Can't stop us.
Exactly.
Hey, Locker Nation. I hope you really enjoyed that episode with Jana Breslin and Evan DeMarco, two superstars. If you're not yet following them on social, check them both out on Instagram. They have a great following, great feeds, and I think you really enjoy them. Check out The Complete Human as well on social, and obviously their website. There are some freebies there. Obviously, you know about the supplement line. And you know what? If you're really out to unleash your human potential, The Complete Human, their program, their supplements, they're in alignment with our philosophy here. So I urge you to check everything out. And you're going to find all their deets in the show notes. So check them out there. And for those of you that haven't checked out that 30-60 Lifestyle Shift program, which we mentioned mid-show, please do that. That link is going to be the first thing you'll be able to see. It's the sponsor for the show. I thank myself and the 3065 crew that is already in there for taking a stand for their health and their wellness and their longevity every single day. And everybody else that's listening right now, if there is anybody or anything you want to learn about or actually learn from, please let us know. Leave us that 5-star review. Leave them a 5-star review in Complete Human, because they have their show, their podcast as well. I'll talk to y'all soon. Have an amazing day, evening, or night from wherever and whenever you're listening. All right, y'all. Peace out.